are back. Hour number three on this Friday night. Another week. And we're going to talk this hour, Erica and I, about another aspect of this COVID bioweapon injection that has destroyed, God, what, maybe 4 billion lives? Think about that. If I said 4 million, you'd say, wow, that's a lot. But when you say 4 billion, it kind of doesn't register. It's too big. We don't know yet. We do know, and I think it's safe to say, that all of those who got at least one real injection, let alone two and a booster or two boosters, are in the running for an early demise. Let me just leave it at that. I don't know that everyone's going to die, but I do know the indications are, and the evidence is pointing to the reality that they are in trouble. And at the very least, that trouble can be spelled microclotting. And from there, we can build a whole ladder of things that can do people in and compromise their neurology, their digest, you name it. When the brain goes, it's all over. And we need to talk a little bit tonight, maybe about prions again. When you have a body that no longer has an immune system, the sky's the limit in terms of what can attack it and take it down. You name it, and it can come in. And an awful lot of people have been suffering from something called tinnitus. We're going to talk about tinnitus in the first part of the program tonight, play you some examples. I had no idea what it sounded like. Excuse the geese. There they go. Good night. It's amazing the noise these people have to suffer with. And I will go on record as saying I really wouldn't blame a lot of them with this much noise in their heads 25 hours a day if they decide to check out. It's that bad. And I've never heard a representation of tinnitus before, and I did today. And I'm amazed. And wait till you hear it. Some of you haven't either. Hello, Erica. Welcome back.
Hi, Jeff. Good to be back on a Friday night.
Yes, yes. Nice to be back with you. And I hadn't heard a representation, and I don't know how accurate these are. I think they're very accurate before, of what these poor tinnitus victims, and you monitor their groups on social media just to see what's going on. I didn't have any idea what they had to go through. I don't know how I honestly don't know how they can do it.
No, so some of these noises just would drive you crazy, and to think that they're living with these, you know, persistently 24/7.
It just doesn't make sense to me how the human body's entire neurology could handle that. And I guess in some cases it can't. Let me ask you the key question here. When you monitor these people, and a lot of them are regular posters and so forth, and you've been monitoring them for quite a while, are any of them getting truly better and walking away from this horror and leading a normal life? Does that happen very often?
I think, yes, it has happened for some people. But interestingly, some people think that they've overcome it, and yet it reappears a month or two later.
Ah.
And quite often with another symptom, such as numbness and tingling in the extremities or vision problems.
Well, wait a minute. Now, this is very interesting. So tinnitus does go away temporarily, and then it comes back, but it comes back with a new friend it has met somewhere along the road. That's pretty creepy.
Yeah, so it suggests that it's a neurological problem. People are having trouble getting diagnosed as to exactly what is going on. It does not appear as though it's autoimmune in nature for many of these people, because they try steroids, things like prednisone, and it sometimes makes things a lot worse. So getting a diagnosis is very difficult. Getting these doctors to admit that it's related to the vaccine is difficult, if not downright insulting. And the group
is
growing.
Let me ask you a question. Okay. If you go in and you say, I've got this noise in my head, is it hard or easy to get a doctor to say, yes, you do, and it's in this particular range of sound, and I understand? Or do they say, well, here, take these tranquilizers or these antidepressants and get back to me in a month? What do they do? I'm not talking about the connection with the shot, which is obvious. What are these ear, I guess they're ENT people? I don't know who they'd be, but what do they
say? I think it's the luck of the draw as to who you get for a professional. I do see a trend of just, you know, a lack of acknowledgement from the medical profession in attributing this to the vaccine and being able to help these people.
They're not going to admit it.
No, they've been told not to.
No,
they've been told not to.
Yeah,
and they will be offered prescriptions for, you know, tranquilizers, sleep aids.
Well, the prednisone that's a worry one. I would not want to see that prescribed, frankly, for anybody. Are you seeing any results from it?
If it was autoimmune, you would expect to see some results because it takes away the inflammation.
Yeah. But is this autoimmune? We don't know, do we? Do we really know what the hell it is?
The diagnosis, one of them that I'm seeing thrown around is POTS, which is another name for it. It's an acronym for postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. And it's a form of dysautonomia, which means a dysregulation of the autonomic nervous system. So the autonomic nervous system regulates things that you don't even have to think about, like your heart rate, your blood pressure, body temperature. That's all neurological.
Right.
So that when you go to sleep, your body still breathes and your heart still beats and you don't have to think about it. That seems to be a lot of what this hearing loss or tinnitus is associated with. So that tells me that the central nervous system is being affected, because quite often it's not just the tinnitus. It's a range of other symptoms that go along with it, which can be anything from vertigo, dizziness, an abnormally fast or slow heart rate, anxiety, oddly enough, fatigue, shortness of breath, vision problems.
All kinds of fun things. All right.
Yeah. Things that, make life, I guess, comfortable from day to day. Things that, you know, should just happen automatically. They're not happening automatically for these people.
And almost invariably, it's after they have been injected.
Yes. And with a lot of these people, we're coming up on a year now, and they are still dealing with it, and in many cases, more symptoms. So it seems as though it's progressing, whatever neurological damage is there.
Is it common for it to go away and come back with another disorder in most people, or is the time out kind of rare and unusual? How common is that?
It's hard to say because, you know, obviously it's a group that is full of people with problems, so you're not going to see the ones that, you know, resolved and went away and are normal.
It's a very limited sampling. I understand that. But
the group itself is growing in membership, so, you know, it's not a rare thing.
Is it burgeoning, growing, or just growing steadily and incrementally? And or has this just begun to make itself apparent in the last 2 or 3 months, i.e. 6 to 9 months after people have gotten their shots?
I would say most of the people that are in there found the group after they had their shots and began having symptoms. So I would say, you know, it had the most growth over the past year when they were really advertising the vax, if not forcing them.
Right. All right. Well, what we're going to do tonight, again, is try to shed a little light on this, which I, again, was quite surprised today when I heard these representations. They have many of these tinnitus frequencies nailed, and they have different kinds of profiles in terms of their electronic signature on an oscilloscope or whatever technique they're using. So let me go ahead. You ready, Erica?
Yep.
Okay. This is from a video on YouTube, and I will announce quickly the actual megahertz or frequency, what you're about to hear, and then you can take a listen. Now, this is what, and some of you listening have tinnitus. This is what people with tinnitus are suffering with around the clock. Now, just imagine if this was in your head. All right, we're coming up on the first one. Now, this is 4 kilohertz, a triangle wave. This is the first one, so I'm going to go back and let you hear it again. 4 kilohertz, a triangle wave. Ouch. 5 kilohertz, impulse wave. 5 kilohertz, square wave. 8 kilohertz, triangle wave. 10 kilohertz, sine wave. 13 kilohertz, square wave. Ouch. 14 kilohertz, sine wave. That is called brown noise. Brown noise. That one sounds to me to be intolerable. Two 200 hertz impulse wave. Violet noise.
That just about conclude.
Okay, that does just about conclude the demonstration. So what I'm going to do is back this up, and I'm going to run through it again. I just want you, with no commentary, just to listen to the range of identified frequencies and waveforms that these people with tinnitus have to try to exist with. All right? So listen carefully. And just for those of you who are afflicted, I really extend my heartfelt sympathy. This is not easy. Here we go. No thanks. No way. Couldn't deal with it. Okay, there you go. That's just a little survey. I'm certain there are probably more, but that's a little resume of what tinnitus sufferers hear. They usually, is my understanding, get stuck with one or another. But some of those things, well, all of them, are horrific. I mean,
yeah, I can't even imagine.
No, you don't sleep, you can't think, you can't enjoy anything. You can't go for a walk. There's no solitude, no solace, nothing.
There was one person, maybe more than one, that have described what they were hearing as being akin to a car horn, which, boy.
So there are others, yeah, I figured. But that's just a little idea. A car horn. How could, I don't know. I just don't know how people could tolerate it. I guess, you know, Drs. Smith and Wesson are probably going to end up being busy over time. These people are just going to go crazy.
Yeah, there have been people in there that have, I believe, they were talking suicide. It was that bad. And I don't know if they followed through on it or not, but they're that desperate. And you can see why.
That's just unbelievable. All right, we've got, Erica has compiled for us 9 postings from the Tinnitus group. Now, above that, we've got no medical help, 4 of those. That's for later on, Erica?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. All right, why don't you go ahead, start with number 1, and I'll pick up number 2, and we'll read these. These are posts from the Tinnitus group that Erica monitors, among many other things she does each day. So number 1.
All right, so somebody posted this. Hi, all. I found this group a little less than a year ago when I had hearing loss and ringing in the ears. Both had subsided for months, but the ringing has come back randomly, along with a bunch of other unexplained neurological issues and numbness. Is anyone else experiencing anything like that with ringing that comes and goes? Also having problems with extreme brain fog and low brain functions with some vision problems. And to that were 70 comments.
I'm thinking that, as you said earlier, this is not just a sound. This is often accompanied by other terrible disabilities.
Yeah, it seems to, you know, occur with a constellation of other things, which suggests, again, that it's something having to do with the central nervous system, which the spike protein is known to, you know, affect or infiltrate. I mean, it is a neuropathic protein.
Oh, it loves
so if it
there.
Makes its way to nerve tissue, you can expect to have issues like this.
Wow. All right, let me take a look at number 2 here.
So, these are the answers, the comments.
Very good. So, what we have are all the comments to that first. All right, here's the first comment. Where is your numbness? Is it tingling or numbness? And Kelly responds, both in my lower legs, but mostly the right. Rules out everything with lab work, MRIs, and nerve tests. And then Joy writes again to Kelly, same comment. I have tingling in my left hand, fingers, now. I had a nerve test and EMG, and both were normal. Someone else writes in, Kelly Smith, that's really interesting. Mine is a very long story, so I won't go into it. My tinnitus got worse after all 3. I had numbness in my right toes for a week, and a numb thigh for 3 weeks, and it's a year now, and severe back spasms and back pain, and I can hardly walk. I have fibromyalgia and ME and osteoporosis of my spine, but it's nothing to do with any of that. I have never had so much pain, and Christmas Day I rang 111 and said I feel suicidal as the pain is so bad. I had after pushing and pushing, and the doc told me online that it's fibromyalgia flare. I said it's not, so eventually I had an MRI of my spine on Tuesday, waiting for the results, but now I am struggling again as the pain is back to December, and painkillers are not helping. All right, you get the idea that this tinnitus, you did say it perfectly, is attended by a constellation of other issues.
Yeah.
I mean, that's wacky. So these comments can carry on. All right, go to the next one, number 3.
Okay, this is the original poster. stating again, my numbness is in my lower leg, and it's causing my ankle not to be able to flex and extend properly, so I keep tearing my calf muscle. It's awful, the numbness. And someone replies to that, I'm experiencing numbness. I cannot figure it out. I got the vax last April and tinnitus with it, and just in the last month or so, I wake up with numb fingers and toes. It takes a while to get them to feel okay again, and every morning or after naps, it's the same thing. Someone else says, me too. And then she replies, okay, in a way it's good to know it isn't just me. I thought it was a new illness I was dealing with, and thinking about it now, my face was numb last week for an hour or so, too. It was after a nap. And then another one chimes in, wow, a month ago, after a year, I developed tingling fingers in my left hand. I still have it. What are you experiencing?
This is, I'm going to just wander around for a minute. This is a, how did you identify it? A neuropathic issue?
Well, the spike protein has been determined to be neuropathic, which means it can damage nerves, can cause neurological problems.
Right.
So it's not just clots. It's not just clots.
All right. Well,
if it finds a nerve, it can cause the nerve to malfunction.
I'm wondering, now this may sound a little out there, but if the spike protein dives into some of your nerves, obviously you've just heard a lot of different examples of how it can impact and affect the human body. But I'm wondering if the sonic aspect of it is in some way related to some kind of electromagnetic resonance that might be coming from the spike proteins themselves. Is that a possibility? It just occurred to me. Could we be hearing some kind of neuropathic reflection of a vibratory, we'll call it a frequency, of the spike protein infestation in the nerves? Is that on the table?
No, I think the nerves are just messed up. I mean, one of the other symptoms that comes along with this is often, well, people lose their sense of smell. But a lot of people have a very, very foul taste, either metallic taste or worse. Mm-hmm. They can also have the sensation of strange smells. So the nerves are misfiring. They're not conveying adequate or appropriate or correct messages.
All right.
To the brain.
Let me go back and just add a little bit more to that. The auditory nerve. I'm just curious. We know this. That we have trillions of spike proteins on the human body. And I'm just wondering if they're getting into the auditory nerve. They probably obviously are. And maybe we're on an auditory basis hearing some kind of resonance from this infestation of spike proteins. Just in terms of the sound people are hearing.
I don't know. I don't know that anybody knows at this point, including
no.
the specialists. Or if they do,
no,
they're not talking
know.
About it.
All right. Well, here's another one. Sam writes, yeah, I have these things called clickets. That's cricket with an L. Clickets. That's what I call them. They appeared a week after my second dose, April 2021. I've always had mild ringing of the ears, but it exploded after the vax. The crickets sound like clicking crickets. It's like a little creature in my ear is clicking some stupid fidget toy. It comes and goes. It went away 6 months ago, and I thought that was it. But it came back a couple months later, and now it pops up louder than ever at random times. I hate it. It drives me crazy. Someone asks, have you had C? Are we talking about cancer here?
No, COVID. You've got to put code names in here or else it'll get the group shut down.
All right, well, the next one has COVID in it. So does the next one after that, so I got confused. Have you had COVID since your first dose? Someone else says, Yes, only got one dose, the original poster, Kelly. Have COVID in December, and this started again a month after. Very interesting timing. Someone else writes in to Kelly, I had exactly the same situation as you. I had the first shot with the J&J on 3/21, got COVID on 12/21, and my tinnitus is now worse than ever. Someone else writes in, I have the clicking too. Sounds like kind of a ping pong ball bouncing on a table. Yes, I get flare-ups of the ringing along with numbness in my face. All my tests, writes Kathy, are clear. These are just strings of comments. This is, to call it tinnitus almost does a disservice to these people. They're suffering from so many diverse things.
I know.
I had no idea. I didn't know.
I know. It gives you a whole new respect for tinnitus. It does deserve a name of its own.
Far more,
you know,
encompassing
given the severity.
Oh, yes. This is a shock. All right, go ahead.
Okay, another one writes in, I had COVID first. I had it last January, and I was very sick from it. Then I had the vaccine in April. The vaccine is what caused the tinnitus. It started the day after I got it. I have weird side effects from COVID. I smelled cigarette smoke 24/7 for about 10 months. Then it came and went. Then it didn't at all. And then it came back. Now it's gone again. I've also been super tired since COVID. Like when I mentioned napping, it's not just a nap once in a while. I take 2 naps a day. But the numbness just started about a month ago. It was 14 months after actually having COVID, so I doubt it's from COVID. With COVID symptoms, I didn't really get new symptoms randomly later on. They all came at once and just lingered on. This is a new symptom. And then someone, the original poster replies, some of the doctors I've seen are acknowledging that it has caused some very bad problems neurologically, but there is not enough data since we are only 2 years into this.
Oh, please. Not enough data.
And then she says, Carolina, that sounds so awful. I'm so sorry you have been dealing with this for so long. The numbness is very worrisome because I was always told that numbness can lead to damage, but no one is seeing any nerve issues or nerve damage. Strange. So it must be happening on a cellular level.
I
mean, we mentioned, I'm guessing maybe, I don't know, maybe some kind of proteinopathy, what they call, the proteins get produced in the cell and then they get trapped in there and they don't leave and they cause the cell to malfunction and you basically get a sick cell. It's also called inclusion bodies. But not much is showing up on these tests. I mean, these people go from doctor to doctor, specialist to specialist, and really get no answers, just a bunch of medication to manage the symptoms. I did see another diagnosis other than the POTS. Small fiber neuropathy, which is something you see usually with diabetics. So, you know, what the correlation is with the spike protein. Don't know.
All right. Here's another group of comments. Now, keep in mind, this is under the tinnitus forum. And think of all these different symptoms. This really deserves a different name. Whatever. I have some off and on numbness in my hands and feet. When it happens, it feels like a burning sensation. Thankfully, it doesn't last long. The ringing in my head has been continuous since my second vaccination last March. And the original poster writes, oh, wow, mine is like cold and numb. I wish we could find out where this is coming from. It has to be the brain, but no one knows where to look. Another comment, my initial symptoms involved neuro issues. I had numbness and tingling of the left side of my face, left arm, hand, and fingers. Also had some internal buzzing feelings, spasms, and racing heart. These have mostly resolved, although I do occasionally have the buzzing. had brief tinnitus on the day of my vax, but it was intermittent at first. Tinnitus has been 24/7 since 11/25/21, and the J vax, what's that, the Johnson vax?
I'm guessing it's the Johnson, yeah.
8/27/21, yeah. MRIs, CTA, echo, and lab work, all clear. How do you feel? You heard all those things. Buzzing feelings, spasms, racing heart, numbness, tingling in my hand, arms, and fingers. All clear. Sorry I can't help you, miss. And here's the original poster again. Yes, I have the spasms and like internal shaking now. Internal shaking? Tinnitus? You wouldn't think to link that with all of these different symptoms. I had the heart racing after the vaccine as well. I'm sorry that tinnitus has been so persistent for you. And finally in this group, I had brain fog before with thyroid disease, but it's gotten a lot worse since my vaccine doses in September. She must have got two shots in September.
Well, spaced them 3 weeks apart.
This is really bad. I had no idea until reading these how diverse this is. All right, number 7.
Okay, here's the original poster again. Yes, I have the spasms, we already read that one. Okay, moving on. Another commenter, I had brain fog before. Okay, that's the same one.
Okay, pick it up from Rochelle, and I think that's
yes, Rochelle. Okay. Your symptoms sound similar to mine. I started out with vertigo, blurry vision, and tinnitus, brain fog, etc. About 6 months into it, the numbness, tingles, feet, and hand pain began. Then it started in my face. The numbness, burning, and tingling may be SFN, small fiber neuropathy. I wonder if you have seen a neurologist. They would probably do an EMG test for you and take it from there. I had my punch test for small fiber neuropathy on Monday, and I am waiting on the results. Someone else says, yes, there are days where the ringing is unilateral and low, others bilateral and loud. For example, the last 2 days. My legs have been swollen and achy. Left ear that usually does not ring is numb on the outer ear and muffled hearing. I am 10.5 months in, staying hopeful. Another person says, just last month, I developed tingling in my pinkies and ring fingers. It's so weird and freaked me out.
How did this end? How did this get? Remember, they all have the sound, tinnitus. But how did all these other things come to be lumped in with it? It's kind of a mystery to me. This is very diverse.
Well, as I said, I think it's a neurological thing, a central nervous system.
Has to be. And why can no neurologist seemingly come up with at least a give it a shot as far as, coming up with some kind of a better diagnosis? Maybe they don't want to talk about the shot, the injection.
You wonder. I mean, you think.
Clinical.
I mean, here we are, over a year, with these shots being given to 2/3 of the population now. And I will say, we could blame the fact that these people took the gene therapy version of the vaccine, which is not really a vaccine, and maybe it's from that, but we are seeing the same thing with the Novavax. There are people reporting tinnitus, severe tinnitus, after that vaccine, and that is just the spike protein. So it's clearly something to do with the spike protein more than anything else.
I would concur. All right, Kelly, I experienced hearing loss, tinnitus, and vertigo in January 2021. 9 months later, by August, I was feeling pretty good. My hearing even came back. Then I got my booster.
Why?
I can hardly go on with this. at the end of December, and 5 days later, same thing, sudden severe hearing loss, vertigo, and DND, whatever that is. What is it? DND. It's DND.
I think it's a misspelling, and vertigo and increased tinnitus.
Good call. Still recovering from relapse, but I am improving. Functional medicine doctor believes root cause is Lyme disease. I feel the B
booster
had the B for booster had something to do with it. All right, I'm just going to skip the rest of these on this particular group. Let's go on to the next group, which is number 9. We'll finish it up.
Okay, a new person says, yes, I am having many issues now, migraines with auras too. Another one says, I know. I had first and only Pfizer in May. Hearing loss, tinnitus, a few vertigo episodes for the following months. By September, I was quite normal again. Mild, low-pitch tinnitus, but hearing test back to normal. No vertigo. It almost felt like I got my life back. But then, all of a sudden, in December, I woke up with horrible high tinnitus. Hearing test showed hearing loss at 60 decibels. By the end of January, the hearing test was back, came back normal again. The tinnitus was tolerable. In March now, 10 months from the vaccine, the tinnitus is high again. So it keeps fluctuating. I still believe it will eventually resolve. And the last comment, mine goes up and down too. It's never gone away, but it becomes quieter. Then at the 6-month mark, it got super loud. It was like that for a month or two, then got better. And then again at the 10-month mark, it got loud again. So it seems to be something chronic at this point and maybe progressive.
I'm amazed at these people trying to remain optimistic with this. I really am.
I know.
This is not easy. You heard the examples of the sounds, and those apparently are just a few of the wide range of auditory issues what seem to be auditory issues that are perplexing these people and driving them to near suicide, which I certainly understand. All right, let's go to the spike protein itself, which, remember, it doesn't just go into the nerves. It goes head to toe, fingertip to fingertip, in every cell of your body. The average injection of the mRNA and Pfizer shots have 40 trillion mRNA packets. And if each packet were to be successfully implanted into a cell, that packet would at least produce 100 spike proteins. And if the production cycle continues for the rest of the person's life, you figure it out. So 40 trillion times 100. Do the math. That's how many spike proteins could be in your body from just one injection. We're not talking about injection number 2 or the booster or the second booster. This is really crazy.
It's a staggering, totally abnormal production of protein is to be saturating your body with a foreign toxic protein like that and expecting
designer protein.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. And remember, the people that made this protein and put it in this group of vaccines, whether it's the J&J or the other two, they knew what they were doing. They didn't just say, let's put one of these in there and put a couple of these in there and being the spike protein. This spike protein was carefully constructed to create the horror that we're hearing about. And ultimately, the spike protein destroys your immune system. It's going to be gone. I today talked to someone who has two friends who are both dying after getting shot up of cancer that is ravaging and racing through their bodies. Why? Because they have no more innate natural defenses to throw against it. The cancer just has a field day. You mentioned this is you called it a binary spike protein or binary functions. Tell us a little bit more about that.
A binary biological weapon. When you consider, number one, the spike protein itself is toxic, very toxic. So the minute you introduce it into your body, however it gets in there, by infection or injection, it's going to have adverse consequences. But if you've got a healthy immune system, it would begin to neutralize it somehow, and antibodies are usually a part of that process. But the fact that there are so many homologous epitopes, meaning identical or reasonably identical epitopes, in the spike protein, and then the entire virus too, but mostly in the spike protein, that will cross-react with the antibodies. I'm not saying this right.
Let me do this.
All right.
You have a protein in your body that is essential to your body's functionality and health. In the spike protein is a virtual identical protein, but it might be missing a few pieces. We'll just call them pieces for fun. But how did that happen? And in women, 27 of the 41 identified epitopes so far are proteins that are found in their reproductive system. How did that happen? 27 of 41, and there, how many altogether do we think epitopes in a spike protein that haven't been identified yet? 600.
They're finding more and more every day. So an epitope is just the smallest sequence of a peptide that the immune system will see. It has to be a certain size for the immune system to see it, and then the sequence has to be, correlate to one that's found in your body. And there just happens to be quite a few of these, an inordinate amount. And you really, if you're making spike antibodies to a spike protein, some of those antibodies are likely going to match up to the epitopes that happen to be identical to proteins in the human body. When they first looked at this, I think they identified...
And what happens? Your immune system goes against the epitope version of the protein that's in the ovaries. It also goes after the ovaries. So your own body's immune system turns against your body because these epitopes in the spike protein trigger it. Correct.
Right. Now, that's separate and apart from if these spike proteins or the virus end up in tissues and the immune system sees them there, it's going to attack it that way, too, just having that protein present in those tissues.
Wow.
So the two sides of this is that the protein itself is toxic and the antibodies that you make against it are toxic to yourself.
Wow.
And a number of these epitopes that you're making antibodies against also are in the immune system. Approximately one-third, they determined. So you're basically
so you're wiping
making
out your
antibodies.
Immune system with your
yes.
own immune system.
Yes.
Good God.
Yes.
This is...
Yep.
I still have suspicions that this is augmented with some advice from off-planet intelligence. It's too damned evil. It's too sophisticated. I'm not saying we couldn't do it. I'm saying this thing, and the more Erica researches it, and the more you listen to her, I'm sure you've heard, what can we say? At least scores of different ways that this protein, this spike protein, can interfere and upset the body and reprogram the body to a sufficient degree that it will ultimately kill it.
Yeah.
How many?
There's just so many. It's a blood poison. It messes up iron metabolism. It messes up DNA repair pathways. It's neurotoxic, cytotoxic, toxic to the heart, toxic to the brain.
Carrying, causing prion manifestation in the brain? Good luck.
Protein misfolding. Protein poisoning. These inclusion bodies that you know, the in the nerve cells will cause neurological problems. You know, these amyloid deposits, sarcoidosis, which is a compound or between an antigen and antibody, just that takes up resident in various tissues, usually the lungs to start with. But there's all kinds of fallout from this.
It's too much. It's too clever. It's too wicked. It's too evil. As Dr. Chetty says, well, tell him what he says.
It's the most evil protein ever man has ever created. Evil, toxic.
Deadly, diabolical, whatever. It is the most horribly deadly thing that humankind has ever created. And where did it go? Right into an alleged vaccine. It's a bioweapon. Do you understand? And we know people, you know them too, you've heard some of them. People are dying in hospitals all the time now. And it's being covered up because they're not being said to have perished from COVID. Oh no, he died from liver failure. He died from cancer of the pancreas or cancer of the lung, whatever. The diseases that are running rampant in bodies with no immune system now are almost limitless.
Yeah. We're also starting to see an uptick in Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease.
Now that's big, and that is, please tell them what it is and how it ties into the prion thing.
Well, that is the classic prion disease. Creutzfeldt-Jakob is also known as mad cow disease, but there's a few different variants, and some arise from within spontaneously. It has maybe a genetic basis to it, and others can be acquired. But we know this spike protein has at least two binding sites on it that will, act as a catalyst to cause the misfolding of your own proteins, and that, you know, we know the spike protein makes its way to the brain. You know, it's almost asking for mad cow disease or Creutzfeldt-Jakob or spongiform encephalopathy or Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or ALS.
They had some clever trick names. They had CJD, VCJD, NVCJD. These are names they came up with 20 years ago to try and explain away this stuff and make it less able for people to understand. Now, next program, we'll get to the no help from doctors section. Let's save that.
Sure.
Because we were talking earlier and you said that it could theoretically take just one prion in the brain to start the cascade, that it would geometrically double over and over and over. I forgot how you described it, but
yeah,
one
so
it,
it's a kind of a domino effect that once you have the initial misfolded protein and it comes into contact with another protein, it causes it to misfold, and then the process continues exponentially, so that by the time symptoms manifest, the disease process is well underway, and people usually die within 6 to 8 weeks maybe. And it seems like overnight,
fast.
But it's unknown how long the person might have been courting this disease, so to speak, by the time symptoms manifest. I mean, it could be 5 years, could be 10 years, or in the case of these vaccines, I don't know, but there is a lot of it being reported in the last 6 months, and it's hard not to think that the vaccine somehow isn't playing a part in that.
Well, I refuse to go there. It obviously is playing a role in it. These people aren't all eating infected cattle. They're not all eating infected deer, although there were three deer hunters who went out and shot a deer and field dressed it, took it back and ate it, and they all died of Creutzfeldt-Jakob within year. A year? A year and a half? A year. It was a year. So it is transmissible, and these proteins, these prion proteins, are being shed. All right? I want you to take that under advisement. We will talk about it more in the future. But I still believe that they are taking the mask mandates down and encouraging people to get together because they want to spread more horror amongst the vaxxed and unvaxxed. So they're targeting the unvaxxed.
The people who have had these gene therapy shots are shedding spike protein.
Now, do you understand, all of you, what that means? Of course you do. They are shedding. That means if someone next to you is actively infested with brain prions and they exhale, cough, sneeze, or even just normal, what do you call it, exudations from the skin, it could come right through your skin, potentially. Right?
Yeah, they have found, that the virus itself is shed in the sweat glands.
All body fluids are potential carriers, saliva, tears, all of it. Okay, there's a look at tinnitus that I don't think very many have heard before. And for all of you out there who are suffering, now our listeners know that there are many more things involved than just an horrific sound in your head. Many more things. Bless you all and hang in there. Thank you, Erica.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Okay. We will talk to you on Monday. And in the meantime, pass this program around. I'll have it up as soon as possible in the archive on the right side under Erica's name on the left. And we will be back soon. You know where you can find us in the meantime. Take care and prepare.